it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
In today's show, we cover the five biggest news stories from the world of Formula One, which this week are: Hell Plan reaches Spain, McLaren make moves on and off the track, F1 believes the children are our future, once again, no happy homecoming for Leclerc, and Schumacher to hit the track as Mercedes predict further struggles.
Goodman, and you're listening to the fantastic Cut to the Race podcast.
Hello, my name is Brian Mylander, and you're listening to the Formula Words podcast.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and you are listening to the incredible Cut to the Race podcast.
Hi, I'm Jordan King, and you're listening to Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Crofty. You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out, and away we go!
Welcome to News from the Nerds, the midweek news show brought to you by the Formula Nerds. Once a week, we update you on everything you need to know from the world of F1. We are the Formula Nerds news team, and make sure you keep up to date with all the latest news by visiting our website at formulanerds.com. I'm your host, James McKenzie. I'm back. I mean, I was back on the race review, but I'm back on the new show. Thank you to Ollie for filling in, where he was helped along by, as ever, a very faithful panel, which are Sam and Abby. Sam, how is it going?
You really kind of lost the emotion from your voice when you had to address us. You're like, hello, and Sam and Abby are here too. Like, yeah. You kind of really sort of tailed off somewhat. I'm good, thank you. Bonsoir. Bonjour, if you're listening in the morning, wherever you may be. Yeah, I'm all good. Can't complain. Glad to have you back. Missed you greatly. Ollie was a very good deputy, but he's no James McKenzie.
Well, who is? But thank you, Sam. And I'll try and sound more excited when I introduce Abby. How's it going, Abby?
Buenas tardes, caballeros.
Wow.
Spanish
and
Switzerland.
That sounded so sarcastic. Wow. Oh, you can speak Spanish. Well done, mate.
No,
I can speak French.
You can. I'm good, thank you, James. And like Sam said, it's good to have you back.
Well, I'm glad to be back. Shall we crack on straight away with the news then? The show is sponsored by Formula Model Shop, official Formula One gifts shop online and in store. Visit www.fms.store or pick up in store. And if you're listening to the race review, as aforementioned, we do have a competition, which is courtesy of the Formula Model Shop. Very generous of them. It's a George Russell bundle worth over £200. So make sure you go and listen for the full details on the Cut to the Race review of Monaco and listen out for the code word. But on with the news. And after a wet and wild Monaco Grand Prix, the rain in Spain will seemingly stay away as F1 heads back to Barcelona. Said to be dry, but there should be still plenty of interest, I think. We've got some upgrades that probably didn't get shown show their full hand in Monaco. We've got Alonso looking for a first podium there in a decade. What are you guys most excited about?
Well, it is a full weekend of motorsport with F2 and F3 as well, so I'm sure we'll be very busy. But I like the Spanish Grand Prix. I'm hoping that we'll see Alonso and Sainz on the podium for their home race, hopefully. Hopefully Ferrari can improve. But like you said, some teams like Mercedes did bring upgrades to Monaco, but obviously Monaco is a very unique circuit in that it's not the best demonstration of what upgrades can bring. But also the track, there are some changes. I think they've widened the runoff area at turn one and they've gotten rid of the chicane on the final two corners. So it's now two quick right-handers, which I think a lot of drivers previously complained about the chicane, saying that it was quite hard for overtaking. So hopefully now it's just two normal corners, we'll see some more on-track action and overtake.
You know what's mad, James? So that chicane has been there since Abby was six.
No way. Was it?
Yeah.
2000 and what, seven?
Lewis Hamilton hasn't raced an F1, like a Spanish Grand Prix in F1 without the chicane.
Wow. I would have put it at maybe like 2010, 2011. I remember Maldonado going around it. So that's like my basis of pre and post 2012 for Spanish Grand Prix. But yeah, 2007. Wow.
Who needs AD and BC when you can just have pre and post Maldonado?
Yeah.
That's all you need in F1. It's also Formula E this weekend in Jakarta. So when I was doing the schedule for our team, for all the session reports, I was crying my way through it. It was we're going to have a busy weekend here at Formula Nerds. I think Spain is an interesting one. Doesn't always throw up the best races. Let's, be fair there. But it is quite a good barometer for how the cars are doing and the actual reference points between them. So, yeah, I think we will learn a lot, even if we don't particularly enjoy it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm glad the chicane's gone. It always felt a bit clumsy. Like Abby said, the drivers have complained about it because, following another car closely through it, you undo all the work that you've done building up to that, and then they would never get on the traction quickly enough and then struggle to make the pass down the main straight. I think it was done for safety reasons originally for MotoGP, I think, because the runoff wasn't sufficient. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And that's not unusual. Like there's in Austria, the Red Bull Ring, there's a chicane up the second straight after the first corner between the first and second corner. Not unusual. But this era of F1 car is much better. It's got much better downforce through corners, higher cornering speed. So the revised returned layout is much more is much safer and much more conducive for good racing in this era, whereas obviously 15 years ago the cars were twitchier, so that's why it was introduced.
And hopefully we'll get some good racing and hopefully it'll be a bit closer at the front. Maybe I think we can all accept that Red Bull are probably going to sail off into the distance. It's a very Red Bull friendly track, fair amount of straights and some very high speed corners. They're probably going to sail off. But signs were decent for that Mercedes upgrade. Maybe they can get in the mix, and Ferrari, who knows? Sometimes they look like they're the second best car, and sometimes they look like fourth. So we'll just, I guess, have to wait and see how they do.
Well, I saw somewhere Alpine saying that they thought they would be in and amongst the Mercedes and Ferraris here. So
we will have
to see.
That French bravado. They got one podium and then expect to stay ahead of Mercedes and Ferrari for the rest of the season. They just set themselves up for fools, don't they?
I like to say. Yes.
It's just so French.
Oh, so French. Si comme ça.
Well, leaving France well behind and Spain, because that will do for the preview. I don't think there's much else to add. Monica, what?
I was going to make a joke when you talk about the weather, about it being cloudy with a chance of chorizo, but it just never flowed naturally. So I wanted to get that in there before we moved on.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
I really hope the listener enjoyed it. Someone who quite enjoyed their Monaco Grand Prix were McLaren, who got both cars into the points in the end. And they've been making moves on and off the track, as mentioned in the intro, Abby.
They certainly have. So, as you said, both Lando and Oscar scored points in Monaco. For Lando, he finished P9, and Oscar, he finished P10. And both of them commented on how tough a race it was. Piastri admitted that the race itself was probably the most tricky of the year as well, but he admitted that these weekends are the ones where you learn the most. And there's a video of Lando on social media saying that it's quite scary. He thought he was going to crash a lot of times throughout the race, and it's tougher than a lot of people think inside the cockpit of an F1 car. But getting double points for the team is a big step forward. They didn't have a great beginning to the season, but they've managed to improve and show that they did have the pace in Monaco. There was an issue with Lando pitting onto hard tyres and then obviously four laps later going onto the rain, which he did say they shouldn't have boxed for the hard tyres. I guess he's talking in hindsight, but the team are going to review it. So they've moved forward on the track in that case, but moving forward off the track, they have signed Rob Marshall, who is the former Red Bull chief engineering officer for 17 years. Whilst Rob Marshall was at Red Bull, they won 6 drivers and 5 constructors titles. And now he's going to be joining McLaren and he'll form part of a 3-man F1 technical executive team with Peter Prodromou and David Sanchez from 2024 in the hopes of getting McLaren back up to being a race-winning and championship-winning team.
I wonder where we've heard about Lando Norris being on the wrong tyres in changeable conditions before. But I think it's interesting that we're talking about McLaren's weekend through the lens of a double points finish, a good result for the team. It was P9 and P10. And I think this says a lot about the state of a season. And I don't mean state in a negative way, but as in the state of play in a season where you've got 4 teams clear of the midfield, which is unusual, generally speaking, for F1. So, 3 points and a P9, P10 is a positive result for McLaren, for Alpine to a degree, obviously. They had a much better result this weekend. But yeah, it's a really difficult period, I think, particularly for those two teams, because they have higher aspirations. They're expecting to be the ones who are breaking into that top 3. And Aston Martin have seemingly come from nowhere and made them, in extension, look bad. And so they're under much more pressure now. And it's all of a sudden, you know, battle stations, you've got to turn this around quick. And every week, the pressure is seemingly mounting. So it's interesting now that we're getting this kind of narrative of a P9, P10 points finish is seen as progress.
Yeah, well, for Oscar, he was saying that after the practice sessions in Monaco, he wasn't happy with the pace that they'd shown at all. He said, "I wasn't very pleased with my driving. Consistently 6 tenths off was not a very nice feeling. So then to bring it a lot closer for qualifying, where he qualified P11, and then to end up with a point, a very, very positive step forward." So whilst it would look like getting 3 points over a weekend isn't that great, like you say, Sam, for McLaren, it does show the state of play this season with the rest of the grid.
And also on the appointment of Rob Marshall, an interesting final piece to that kind of 3-pronged position. I don't know if anyone, any of our listeners are fans of Succession, but sometimes having 3 people vying for this in the same kind of role doesn't always work as well. I'm not saying that it's going to be, you know, kind of comparative to that, but ownership, accountability, and making sure there are clear defined roles is seemingly going to be a challenge in a move where you're expanding the knowledge base and hopefully covering more ground. So there will be things that they do need to kind of acquiesce with this new arrangement. It'll just be intriguing to see whether or not this works and then therefore starts to become a newer way of working within F1.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit jumbled when they first announced the new structure. But, I mean, you don't know until you've tried it and, hopefully it will work for them. I mean, it seems like it's someone who's very highly thought of in the paddock coming into the team. I saw Dan, Engine Mode 11, on Twitter, former Red Bull team member, obviously saying how he'd always thought very highly of Rob. So hopefully, they can start making the strides that we all expected them to make and maybe making it a big 5 or even 6 if Alpine do live up to their delusions of grandeur. This show is sponsored by Formula Model Shop, official Formula One gift shop online and in store. Official Formula One teamwear, artwork, models, gifts, and now slot cars available online at www.fms.store, or you can pick up in store at their new large retail store in Brackley, Northamptonshire, and experience their in-store F1 simulator and new large-scale Scalextric Silverstone track. Maybe even set fastest laps on both to win monthly prizes. FMS, more than just an F1 store. Collect it, play it, wear it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Next up, we've got some highly promising news for a new generation of F1 fans and potentially F1 broadcasting talents. F1 and Sky have announced a joint initiative which will see three young fans present during the Hungarian Grand Prix later this year. These three youngsters will join the broadcast over that weekend in Hungary, and they will essentially give a child's perspective of the rundown of the weekend. So they'll be joining the likes of Nico Rosberg, Danica Patrick and Natalie Pinkham. They will also be presenting on a dedicated feed for younger fans of F1, which will basically have bespoke graphics, sound effects and special features such as 3D augmented graphics on specific camera angles that will enhance the broadcast for a younger audience. And this will be available in both the UK and Germany, where Sky also own the broadcasting rights for Formula One. Jensen Button has said that they're really excited about giving this next generation of fans a platform to show their passion and excitement. And we may just find our next Crofty or Naomi Schiff. So be sure to look out for that over the Hungarian Grand Prix weekend. James, Abby, what are your views on this? I feel like it's a really positive step. I think that F1 is a very technical sport, sometimes difficult for even adults to wrap their head around. So this should make it much more accessible. And I think it's really key with an age where there's lots of different sports and interests and you can't follow everything, to get fans in at a young age, at a low level, and then allow them to grow the sport. So yeah, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's exactly it, isn't it? F1 is technical. I mean, there are some aspects of it that I still struggle wrapping my head around because it is so technical. So having this, it will be a tailored international feed and allow all fans of all ages to understand the sport, to have kids get a different perspective of it, one that they can comprehend more easily. It's overall, it's a really promising step forward, I think. And obviously they're keeping the regular broadcasting of the Hungarian Grand Prix weekend as well. But I will definitely be looking at this because I think it's just a cool initiative to have. And especially since F1 has grown in popularity, it's mostly been like teenagers and then young adults watching Drive to Survive and growing the sport that way. So having these younger fans who might end up expressing an interest in karting themselves and then going on to being racing drivers in the future, I think it's really promising and a positive step.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with it, can you? I'd have loved it if this had existed when I was a kid. And obviously the opportunity to present.
The colour TV even. Ooh, I've said that very funny.
It's all right. It's the dementia kicking in, Sam.
There's no point in me even trying to continue with the punchline. That's done. I imagine this is staying in. Moving swiftly on.
I didn't want to move swiftly on too. I think it's a great idea. So it's apparently the Sky Kids show, FYI's Braden and Scarlett and a young go-karter in Zach. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do with it because it's quite nerve-wracking, I imagine. I mean, I know it's nerve-wracking enough and I only have to speak live and, you know, I'm a fully grown adult. So credit to them for giving it a go.
And we've also seen firsthand how difficult it can be, even when you're recording and it can be edited.
Yeah.
It's not as easy.
Isn't live.
No. Surprise. breaking the fourth wall here. Really sharing some illusions today. But actually moving on to some other news, let's appraise Charles Leclerc's weekend in Monaco. Obviously, his home Grand Prix has become somewhat of a curse rather than a blessing for young Charles. Also, his brother Arthur found that as well around the streets of the Principality this weekend, having a difficult time in F2 with dams. So breaking down Charles this weekend, it looks fairly promising. They didn't really think that they were going to have the outright pace of Red Bull, but they knew that a strong result was possible. P3 in qualifying quickly became P6 for the slam dunk, fair enough penalty for impeding Lando Norris. But looking back at a weekend that could have been, Charles Leclerc said, the pace wasn't great today. I mean, it was actually quite good on the hard tyres. On the slicks, it was good, but there was nothing to do here. It was basically a waiting game. And then when we started to push, the tyres had gone away a little bit. So it sounds pretty consistent with what the Ferrari drivers have been saying all season, really. Yeah, hard tyres are fine, but the medium, soft, anything else, we can't really do anything with. We can't push, we can't not, we can't conserve. So clearly, from my perspective, that work is still left undone for Ferrari. What's your take on it, guys?
It's just, it's unbelievable how much bad luck he's had there. They were never going to be competing for the win without something crazy, but that's the thing. They had something crazy. They had the weather and they absolutely bottled it again, just as they did last year when they had to deal with a bit of strategy at Monaco. It's not great. And it's a real shame for both of them because it'll be amazing to get a Monegasque driver on the Monaco podium. But it just, how long is it going to take? 5 years now of trying and failing for anything to go right.
Has that ever happened before, James? I know that you knew at least three of the four Monegasque drivers.
Well, Beretta definitely didn't get anywhere near a podium anywhere. Louis Chiron, I think he might have done. He definitely got a podium. I don't know if it was at Monaco.
See, maybe you need to move to Monaco because you're nailing the pronunciations there. But maybe France isn't for you. Maybe Monaco is.
Did that sound like a Monegasque pronunciation?
Oh, I don't know. You've heard me say words in French. Sac le bleu. Like, clearly my pronunciation is not there.
It sounds like you're saying sac le bleu.
I probably am, to be fair. But anyway, Abby, what are your thoughts on Charles Leclerc?
Having his brother there racing in F2, we might see a change of fortune. He might have a good race. That didn't happen. I was very sad afterwards for both of them because it's not great to see. And for Charles, Ferrari are P4 in the standings. They're 29 points behind Mercedes now. And both him and Sainz didn't have great races at all. I mean, Sainz, his was partly his fault driving into the back of Ocon. But it is a shame to see. And I feel like Ferrari know that there's work that needs to be done, but it's almost as if they're not doing it to me because there are so many different things that need to be worked on with the car, with the tyres, with the strategy. And there's lots of different aspects, but they just need to bring it all together and then keep a consistent package. And it didn't work out in Monaco. Hopefully Barcelona, a more traditional race circuit, a circuit that everybody knows. Obviously pre-season testing was there as well. Hopefully that can help them get some data, review their performance, get some analysis, and maybe the second half of the season we'll finally see Ferrari creep up in the standings and prove that, like, because they've been a top three team for the majority in recent years and they have so much history and are a championship winning team, but they are not there at the moment, and it is sad to see.
It is sad. I think we all want to see Ferrari do well. It's become obviously such a meme, but they're such a great team and they've got so many fans, and it would be so good to have that battle that we thought we were going to have between Charles and Max, which is now looking like a distant memory. I can confirm that Louis Chiron got the Monaco podium in 1950, his only podium. I've checked that for you, and there you go. So it would be for the first time in 70-something years if Charles were ever to manage it.
So I'm assuming that the Monaco Grand Prix in 1950 would have been an F1 championship race that year.
It was. It was the second ever race.
They went 1-for-1 that first year, and then 0-for-1, 72.
Yeah.
There since. Yeah, well, they've got some work to do to, you know, it's like a basketball. You start the game strong and then, you know, finish 1-for-18 from the field. You know, maybe you should have stopped shooting. Wasn't quite your night.
But from Ferrari's current poster boy, Charles Leclerc, to the man that many people thought would be their future poster boy, but it hasn't really worked out like that. And he's now at Mercedes, Mick Schumacher.
He is. So Schumacher obviously lost his Haas seat and is now a Mercedes reserve driver. And this weekend, he will be hitting the track in the W14 in Barcelona for the Pirelli tyre test. Russell will also be taking part in the test, but Schumacher will also have a go. And at the moment, obviously, the grid is full up. And Toto Wolff has said on Schumacher's situation about getting a driver's seat, that it's a difficult situation because the cockpits are taken with us, even though I wish Mick would get a seat, he would have deserved it. The situation in 2024 is so unfavourable. In 2025, a few doors will be open again. We'll have to wait and see how the pace develops at Williams, but it's not easy. So Schumacher will be hitting the track. Toto thinks that, well, he hopes that he'll get a seat at some point, but with Mercedes in Spain, obviously, we mentioned earlier that they did bring upgrades to Monaco, which were supposed to be brought at Imola, but obviously the race got cancelled. And Toto has now said that whilst the upgrades have shown some improvements, Barcelona won't necessarily be a realistic scenario of the full potential of the upgrades. He said, I like that the track now has a balls out last corner, but we need to see whether it's going to be a good race because some of the junior series are still struggling with overtaking there and couldn't get close. For us, this race is a data collection exercise. We're not going to be racing for world championships, so it's really just about running the car and seeing what it can do. So what do you guys think about Schumacher finally hitting the track? Will he get a seat at some point in F1 in the future? And will Mercedes upgrades be demonstrative at Barcelona?
I'm going to tackle the last point first, because what Toto Wolff has said in advance of the Spanish Grand Prix, you might as well clip it and just rerun it a few days before every race for the rest of the season, because that is what they're going to say every single time. Oh, not representative of this track, can't win the championship, we'll just have to wait and see. And then we'll end up with a concept that doesn't work at the start of next season, and it will be basically rinse and repeat. So yeah, that's how I feel about that. Sorry for being glib and short about it. With regards to Mick Schumacher, I think it makes sense for Mercedes to get him some track time, keep him fresh as best they can. It's obviously very difficult. There's not much testing in Formula One these days. So as a test driver, you're essentially a simulation driver. You're essentially on hand in case someone gets COVID or they get, you know, an injury or anything else. So it's very, very difficult to keep race fit in that sense and race sharp as well. With regards to Mick's future prospects, yeah, 2024 is looking incredibly unlikely. You've got people like Daniel Ricciardo waiting in the wings, an 8-time race winner. You've got Mick Schumacher, who scored points on what, 2 occasions in his F1 career so far. So he can't compete with some of the talent that's out there waiting in the wings. Down the line, I think brighter, untested talents are coming through, and it's going to be difficult for him. Ollie Bearman, for example, with you know, not that Mick's with Ferrari anymore, but he would be kind of nipping at his heels and making it very difficult. And, you know, to use politics as a kind of, you know, an example here, in presidential elections, almost every single time the least experienced candidate wins because they have less garbage or less kind of history that can be used against them. I think that's almost the case here with Mick. You've got drivers who are coming through who haven't got a history that you can negatively use against them, they're untested. I think those guys are going to have the priority. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Mick to find a seat. It certainly isn't going to be Mercedes. I think really, Mercedes, yeah, Charles Leclerc's been bandied around. Esteban Ocon was always the heir apparent, as I said the other day. I don't think that's going to be the place that Mick finds his next drive in F1.
Yeah, they haven't really got the sway over Williams that they used to have, I don't think, anyway, Mercedes, in terms of trying to help Mick into that seat. Obviously, they've got Logan at the moment, who is a Williams Academy driver, and Alex is doing a great job. That's maybe his best chance if Alex were to move on, to move somewhere within the grid, if an opportunity were to present itself. Other than that, yeah, I can't see Mick finding a seat anywhere, really. He's, you know, I think everyone saw the potential of Alex in terms of people who said they've compared the two, because obviously Alex took a step away. Mick has taken a step away, but Alex shone really brightly for his first half a season and then came up against Max Verstappen at Red Bull. So there was obviously a fairly strong caveat there in the fact that he didn't do maybe quite as well as people had hoped he had done. Whereas Mick went from beating Mazepin, who arguably shouldn't have been in F1, to being beaten for the most part by a returning veteran.
Yeah, exactly. You're completely right. And to kind of correct myself, because I think Ollie Bearman, in hindsight, is probably a bad example to use. But if you're looking down the Williams line, you've got people in their academy like Zach O'Sullivan, Frank Colapinto. You've got some really promising F3 drivers who 2024 assume that they'll, you know, take the step up to F2. And then you've got a year, you know, could they be in F1 in 2025, 2026? That's the kind of, obviously, the new engine regulation era. That's when everyone's kind of looking at a little bit in terms of how will that shake out. But then looking up the F2 pecking order at the moment in the championship standings, Teo Pourchaire, obviously a Sauber Academy junior, is probably the option there, right? For Mercedes, Fred Vesti, he's leading the championship. He's part of their academy. So those doors are increasingly becoming closed. So I really don't see where the wiggle room is. The Schumacher name will take you so far, but I think it most likely, realistically, is probably the end of the road in terms of a race seat for Mick.
I was just going to say, Frederick Vesti, Mercedes Junior, like you said, Sam, he's now leading the F2 championship. In the feeder series, there are so many drivers that are part of F1 academies. Williams, Alpine, Mercedes, Ferrari, Sauber, Red Bull. There is so much young talent that is coming through, and there aren't many seats in the grid, and we know it is increasingly hard to get from F2 to F1. Felipe Drugovic, champion last year, but he hasn't got a seat. So to have Mick, I think he would need to do exceptionally well and wow Mercedes for them to give him a seat. But I do think, I agree, Sam, the door is closed for him at the moment, considering the talent that is coming through the junior series.
It will certainly be tough. To finally answer your other question, Abby, I think, yeah, I mean, Sam is totally right in saying that that is going to be rinse and repeat for Mercedes for the rest of the year. But in fairness to Toto, I mean, this will be the where that is most true. Barcelona has always been the testing circuit for a reason, because it's a very good example of a mixture of corners. Okay, some of the slower corners have now gone, but Barcelona was the testing circuit for decades. So they will learn a lot about the car and this upgrade here. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes. We'll be back to talk about it soon enough. But until then, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to head over to formulanerds.com and all the Formula Nerds socials to find out the latest on these and any other stories. If you've got anything to ask us or let us know, it's info@formulanerds.com. We'll be back, as I mentioned, for the race review of the Spanish Grand Prix, which hopefully will be a barnstormer. What do you guys think? Are you optimistic?
Not hugely. If I'm being honest.
I was trying to throw to you so excitedly after you said I wasn't being excited enough in the intro. I was trying to really ramp up the outro and then you, no, not really.
I'm sorry. I don't want to mislead the listener. And I don't want people to go in with high expectations and high hopes and to be crushed by a substandard Spanish Grand Prix.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Yes, I'm noble, I'm chivalrous. I would quite like to see Fernando Alonso get 33 in both sense of the words, number, sense of the saying, whatever I meant. Obviously, Max Verstappen used to drive number 33, and it would be Fernando Alonso's 33rd race win. Wow, this is terrible, but I think at home it would be really nice. If not, Carlos Sainz, I'd like to see him have a good weekend.
Well, I'll save Sam from himself and say thank you for joining me, both to Sam and Abby.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure. And as much as Sam has done his best to undersell it, do join us on the Cut to the Race review for Spain. But until then, it's lights out, mics off, and away we go. Bye-bye. Yay!
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.